Welcome to Influential Visions Podcast. Here, we interview futuristic leaders who share their deep industry knowledge and business experience with you, ensuring you have your finger on the pulse and your eyes wide open. In this series about imposter syndrome, our regular host, Nathaniel Schooler, is joined by Kim Adele Platz as they interview leaders from around the world, sharing how they overcame their inner imposter.
I am joined again by Kim Adele Platz, and we are privileged to be joined by Melissa Sassy from over in Texas, right?
Got it.
And you're a chief penguin. I'm not quite sure what that is.
I am the chief penguin of IBM Z. Why did I pick an animal title? Well, who wants a boring job title anyway? And, you know, if you think about, by the way, I do have a cup that says chief penguin.
Oh, I love it. That's awesome.
Oh, and I do have a hat.
Ace.
I do have a hat. All right. So what the heck is a chief penguin? A chief penguin is, well, me. And what I do is I focus on a lot of different and interesting things in my role here at IBM. I run a startup program. I've got 45 startups and within my portfolio. We'll be expanding that to 100 by the end of this year. So 100 startups, fintech, health tech, insure tech. And I also focus on our student segments, so all of our long tail segments. How can we empower, you know, students to learn digital skills and, you know, land awesome jobs? Ideally, you know, jobs that, you know, leverage our technology, but, you know, whether it's our technology or someone else's, really empowering, you know, especially underserved and underrepresented communities to come into tech, stay in tech, land awesome jobs. You know, where the heck did I get this chief penguin title? Well, IBM is really big on open source technology. You know, we own Red Hat, for example, and the symbol of open source is a penguin. And full disclosure, I got a little bit jealous because I had a couple of friends who had animal titles in their job descriptions. One, chief ninja cat, Microsoft, Donna Sacker. Another one was Big Bird of the Nest, which is an incubator and accelerator in Karachi, Pakistan, Jihanara. And then I saw this Thready the T-Rex, which is this Twitter handle, and everybody started making these ceramic dinosaurs. And I thought, if we've got like a Big Bird, if we've got a ninja cat and a T-Rex, like, and I got nothing. So I created it, there it is. And hey, if the UN can write an article about you and call you IBM Z's chief penguin, then anybody can.
I love it, that's so great. And it allows you to have a title that you actually are proud of because it means something to you. Because I think we sometimes, we get stuck with these really dull, boring titles, don't we? That for many years we used to walk around and that'd be how you'd be described. It's like, that doesn't feel like me.
That is exactly what I felt like. And I remember talking to my vice president, Meredith Stowell, here at IBM. And I said, you know, my job title just doesn't describe what I do. And she goes, you're right. And I'm like, I'm going to come up with something. I'm not sure she quite expected me to come up with a, you know, the chief penguin, but hey, it works. And if you look in the corporate directory of IBM and you're an IBM employee, that's what you see is Melissa Sassy, chief penguin of IBM Z.
I love it.
Very cool. Very cool.
So Melissa, such a joy to talk to you. And obviously we're doing this series on imposter syndrome and actually how it feels. And you've clearly got an amazing career and a fantastic journey. But have you had times where you've doubted yourself? And could you share those with us?
Yeah, sure. I do an entire talk track around, you know, imposter syndrome and speak on it often because I actually am a sufferer. And I think it's all related to being a perfectionist, being an overworker, being an overthinker, having this constant desire to speak, you know, to feel special or acknowledged, to feel like you matter. And I think when you are, you know, an overthinker, an overworker, a perfectionist, you're constantly going to be let down. You know, you're constantly striving to achieve these amazing things. And I think it's great to overachieve and have big, wicked goals and solve big, wicked problems. But I think you also need to realize that you may set out this big, wicked, crazy goal, and sometimes good is good enough. I'll give you an example of when I faced imposter syndrome. I was invited to a, and I, by the way, I face it all the time. So this is like one of many, many, many examples. I was invited to do a talk, a series of talks, and serve as a judge at a UN conference. So with the United Nations, and I've spoken at the United Nations many times. However, you know, in this particular instance, it was at ITU Telecom World. So it was part of the International Telecommunication Union, which is essentially the IT branch of the UN. And so that means their audience are, you know, includes IT ministers and, you know, IT staff or IT ministry staff, as well as those that are stoking the ecosystem, if you will, when it comes to digital inclusion, spectrum advocacy, and all of the things that one would think about when it comes to access to technology, favorable policies, and the skills to make meaningful use of the internet. So I'm there, I'm in Budapest, I'm feeling very confident about my role as a judge. It's something I do often for a bunch of startups, no problem. I'm actually doing a talk on imposter syndrome at this same event with a very good friend and close colleague, Donna Sakar, who first introduced me personally to imposter syndrome and helped me to solve many of the imposter syndrome challenges I have. And a member of the ITU came up to me and said, hey, we've had some changes with a panel and some of our speakers from the private sector couldn't make it in. And I don't recall what the circumstances were, but they needed to fill a slot on a panel and it was going to be the next day. And I said, okay, you know, no problem. What's the panel about? So disruptive technologies in the next 5 years. Said, okay, that's something I can talk on. So I got with Donna, I got with a few other people. I'm like, here's my list. Here's what I think. Here are my thoughts. What am I missing? Oh, think about this, think about that. And I came up with this, list of things to focus on. And as part of that, I also just want to point out that I had no idea who was going to be on this panel with me. Problem, right? Like, that's a problem. I didn't know the questions. Problem. And I slept on it and I was all excited because I knew it was going to happen in the main room. And, you know, I knew the ITU Secretary General would be there, the kind of second in command at the ITU. And if you think about what role the Secretary General plays, that's essentially the CEO of a UN branch. Like, that person's boss is essentially the UN Secretary General. You know, it's a big, big stuff, big people, you know? So I get to the stage and I sit down and I start, and I see the paper of the people on my desk, you know, of who's going to be on the panel with me. And I look and I find a world famous economist. Okay, that person probably has a lot of stats. Oh my gosh, I don't have any stats. What am I going to do? Okay, there you go. One. The president of the OECD. Oh gosh, they're going to have a lot of stats too. Holy smokes, what am I going to do? An IT minister from one of the countries in Africa, and it's escaping me right now. The CIO of one of the world's largest mobile operators. Oh, and there's me chilling, right? And so I texted Donna. I said, my imposter syndrome is on fire. Let me tell you who's on this panel with me. So I told her. She goes, Melissa, you belong on that panel. And what you are going to bring is your secret sauce. You're not going to compare yourself to the other people on the panel, and you're going to do what you do best. And that's tell a story, bring an emotional connection to the challenge while talking about those disruptive technologies in the next 5 years. So I started feeling better. Just breathe, 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 have some water. Okay. And the kickoff and the president of the OECD goes first. A lot of stats, really smart stuff. The world famous economist goes next. A lot of stats, really well rehearsed. I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't have any stats. So it comes my turn and I tell a story. I tell a story about a little girl in North Africa without access to a device, without access to the internet, therefore not making meaningful use of what's actually in front of her right now. And I talked about what Zahra faced in her life. And I talked about what the future is going to look like for Zahra and the Zahras of the world. And then I circled back and I said, you know, I can sit here and I can tell you how 5G is going to be disruptive, how internet connectivity through low orbit satellites, impactful. Data protection, privacy, and security and IoT, impactful. But if we don't continue to focus on the underserved and the underrepresented, we are going to be light years ahead of those underserved. So it's great for us to talk about what are we doing to advance technology for the haves. We should be talking about how we could advance technology for the have-nots. 50% of the world lacks access to the internet. 50%, it's actually 48%, so I do have a stat. It might be different today, but that's what it was at that time. And significant populations of young people don't have access to digital skills, especially underserved and underrepresented communities. And so I talked about this story and I talked about how, you know, we could continue to, you know, further technology, which is necessary, but how we had to balance, you know, these things. And I wasn't sure how it landed. You know, I could see that people were paying attention. And sometimes that's a challenge in itself at a conference, to get people to look up at you and not be in their computers or on their phones. So I could tell people were paying attention because I could see their eyes looking up at me. We finished up, more stats. And after the session, I had ministers come up to me and say, thank you for making this one of the most lively, like emotionally connected sessions of the entire conference. This was my favorite. And you made that happen. How can I work with you in Mozambique? How can I work with you in this country, in that country? And I realized that, you know, we may have people who are actually smarter than us. We may actually have people who are more competent than us in certain areas, but each one of us has secret sauce that we bring to the table that's unique to us. And it's not about comparing my chapter 5 to someone else's chapter 25, but figuring out what is my superpower and bringing my superpower, you know, to the table out loud and proud. And I wasn't an imposter on that stage, even though I felt like that initially. And I think that's why it's really important for those of us who suffer all the time, or maybe just when our emotions are high, or maybe during certain circumstances or around certain people, that we remember who our Thrive Hive is. And that's, who is that group of people? You know, what does that group of people look like that help to take you out of your zone, that when that inner bully inside of you is saying, you're not good enough, you don't belong, you got there by accident, you were just in the right place at the right time, so that your Thrive Hive can remind you that, hey, no, you deserve that rocking seat at the table, that table is yours, you have a superpower, enable it to shine, have confidence, and own it. And if you fall on your face, so the hell what? Thankfully, I didn't fall on my face, figuratively or actually, because it would have hurt if I fell off the stage and I would have been rather embarrassed. But I still would have made an impact, I think. Well, a physical impact. My face would have hurt.
Yeah, I love that. What an amazing story. And I love Thrive Hive. That's such a great piece, because I think we do, when we have imposter syndrome, I don't think you ever get over it. You just start to recognize when it's taking control, don't you? And then having those people that you can go, do you know what, right now my inner critic is trying to drive the bus, and I really need you to help get them off so that I can get out of my own way and step into that step into what is my superpower. And I think that can be really hard for us to admit that we've got one. And I learned over the years that my vulnerability was my superpower. My fact that actually I doubt myself all of the time and am willing to share that with people was the thing that opened other people up to be able to go, do you know what, actually, some days I don't feel that awesome. Some days I feel like I shouldn't be here, that they're going to find me out.
Imposter syndrome affects 70% of us at some point. If this is affecting you, click the link to get help.
So what would you say has been the biggest tip that you could share with somebody who's doubting themselves right now, who's hasn't got their Thrive Hive yet?
So I think the first thing, and I have a kind of point by point plan of how do you really go on this journey of, okay, recognizing that sometimes you feel like an imposter. I think that's the first thing, is recognizing that, hey, this is something I feel and it's real. And it may be just, you know, for some people, it may be once in your life, but 70% of people feel it at some point in their life. So whether it's, you know, permeates throughout their entire existence, or it just pops up every now and then, depending upon the circumstance. So recognizing that it's there, making a point to say that I'm going to do something about this. Recognizing that you do have superpowers, trying to figure out what those superpowers, you know, are, sharing your vulnerabilities loud and proud, not being afraid to seem weak when you share your worst nightmare. Figuring out also how to turn your worst nightmare into your superpower. Again, loud and proud. Identifying, you know, who are those people that bring you up? We all got one. We've all got two. We've all got however many. Some of us may have more than others.
Some of us really recognize our mother.
Well, and your mom can, you know, can either be one way or the other. You know what I mean? I often have to take care of what I share with certain family members, you know, because some family members, for example, you know, you hear this, oh, your family's supposed to be there for you. I have some family members who, well, they're just not, and they're not good examples, or they're negative Nancys, and there's a place for negative Nancys. We need people who, you know, think critically and push us to do things different or question all the time. But when our imposter syndrome is high, we don't need someone jumping in and critiquing everything that's wrong with us. You know, you need the people who bring you up. I think self-care is extremely important. But I think it's also important as part of self-care to recognize that perfectionism is not healthy, and striving for perfectionism will put you in a perpetual state of loss and failure, because you're never going to be good enough. And recognizing that sometimes good is good enough, and being happy with certain wins. But when you do fail, not seeing it as I'm a failure, but this was something that failed. And I believe that if you learn from something, you know, then it's not really a failure, because you've gained something out of it. I'm a big fan of taking on stretch assignments and volunteer engagements to push yourself outside of your comfort zone and try new things, so that you get used to change. You get used to being in situations where you naturally don't know everything, and you feel comfortable saying, you know what, I don't know, but I'd like to experiment. Can I talk to you about this or that? But again, I think the most important thing is recognizing, having a plan and a path, saying like positive, you know, things that about yourself, you know, like when someone compliments you, not saying, oh, well, I just knew somebody who worked at that company, you know, or, wow, I was just really lucky, or, wow, I just was at the right place at the right time. No, you weren't. You worked hard. You deserved that seat at the table. And constantly saying these, you know, positive things that, you know, reinforce that, no, you belong and you own that table.
I love it. That's such great advice. And you're right. We often, in our throes, we kind of brush off the compliments because we're embarrassed, aren't we? We're a little bit like, I don't want people to think I'm big-headed. And, you know, we call it the thrift shop brush off. It's like, you know, somebody says you look lovely, like, this was just a fiver from the charity shop. And it's not because we're belittling what they've said, it's because we're a bit embarrassed that we're getting it. But you're right, I think having learning to own it, learning to accept that actually you got there because you deserved to be there.
Mm-hmm. And I try to do something where when I'm feeling a certain way, if I'm feeling a certain way, I try to look at it. And I was on a panel just the other day on imposter syndrome for a International Women's Day month, whatever it's called now. I think it's like a month now instead of a day. I'm still trying to figure that out, which I welcome it, by the way. But I was on a panel of IBMers for IBM employees. And I walked through a plan that came from a few books that I've read, as well as training that I've gotten from Donna Sakar from Microsoft, and incorporated it into kind of my own thing, if you will. And one of the panelists who was on this talk, and we had about, I don't know, 250 people register for the event. So it was, you know, pretty successful in terms of registrations, in terms of actual attendees, was very successful as well. And the CTO, the chief technology officer of our public sector, joined us, Calvin Lawrence. And Calvin said, I try to separate feeling from fact. What is it that I'm feeling? And is that actually a fact? And I also learned something from a woman named Sabine Hull, who's our chief technology officer from Middle East and Africa. And she said, you never know unless you ask, you know, and you're never going to take on that next assignment or that next thing unless you ask for it. And you never know when someone's going to say yes. But it's always going to be no if you never ask. And what a better way to get out of your comfort zone and to stretch yourself and to recognize your own abilities by raising your hand and taking on new things, you know, stretching yourself in ways that, you know, further demonstrate why you deserve that seat at the table.
I love that. Such amazing advice. And we often chat about the fact that something happens, but what we respond to is what we've made it mean. So that kind of like, what's factually happening? What have I made it mean? Because that's what I'm responding to. That's my emotion piece, isn't it? And actually, if in that moment we can say what's actually happening, then that can sometimes help us just reground, can't it?
Yeah, I think the other thing that I would say is, I'll circle back to that concept of the Thrive Hive, which I don't know if somebody else made that up or if I made it up, but I like it. And now it's mine now. but, you know, I think about if someone from my Thrive Hive were to reach out to me, you know, let's say Holly or Carrie or Donna, whomever were to reach out to me and say, I'm facing this problem. Here's what I think the solution is. Here's what I think I should do, or however I'm going to approach that conversation. And I think about what advice would I give them if they were in that situation? And what advice would they give me? How often do we hear the advice in our head that we would give a friend, and then we do the exact opposite, or we feel the exact opposite. So I try to think about what advice would I give a friend, and how do I listen more to that advice? Not this dumb stuff up here, you know, because the more you are a perfectionist, the more you feel like an imposter, the more your salary, your promotability, and so many other things get impacted. It impacts your salary, like how much money you're going to make. If I'm not positive about what I think I can achieve, I'm not going to go after certain things that I may have been able to achieve otherwise. Again, whether that's a promotion, a new job, you know, a new responsibility at work. You know, don't get me wrong, like I still feel like an imposter all the time. You know, I work at IBM. I'm not an engineer. I work with engineers. I teach young people to code. I as in we, you know, but I couldn't code my way out of a cardboard box. I could write a mean hour. I can do a mean hour of code. And I can write hello world. But, you know, I'm not an engineer, and I constantly feel like an imposter. Like, who am I to be running a team of digital inclusion experts, knowing that I don't know how to build a mobile application? I don't know how to build an e-commerce solution. I don't know how to be an IBMC developer or systems admin. And that's why I think it's really important that you not just have your Thrive Hive that are just there to cheerlead you along and you be a friend and help cheerlead them along. But you think about, who knows the things that I don't know, you know, that I don't know, and how can we be stronger together than we are apart? Recognizing when I shouldn't get my skis out in front of me because my skis don't belong there, but recognizing when my skis do belong anywhere and everywhere.
I love it. Such amazing advice. And we could literally chat to you all day. I wonder though, could we invite you back to do a couple more interviews for us, particularly to share your great hints and tips and advice on how to help people move from those moments when the imposter's taking hold, all the way through to kind of facing that fear, because sometimes we have to do that, don't we? That little inner critic's still in there having a go, but we just have to push through and go, not now. I've got this.
I've got a whole talk track around this, and I'd be happy to share it. You know, I'd love to tell you that everything is like 100% my creation and my research, but we learn from others around us. And I've taken a lot of resources, you know, from, you know, different individuals around the world who have empowered me, who have, you know, taught me what having a growth mindset means, you know. And again, Donna Sakar, you know, has been someone who taught me initially what imposter syndrome is and set me out on this path to realize, like, wait a second, I'm normal. This is not weird. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm normal.
Exactly. But she's amazing. I think I'm hopefully going to get her on to the next episode. She's in Antigua, I think, still, but she has agreed. So I need to follow up with her to try and get her in next week, hopefully.
That would be great. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Been super. And thank you, Kim.
Oh, no, it's a pleasure. Melissa, just an absolute joy. I'm really looking forward to next time. And it's been insightful. And clearly, your superpower is your ability to connect and to bring to life in a way that people understand. And that is, I'm sure, why you are such an amazing chief penguin.
Thank you so much for the kind words. I think when I hear that I've told a story or I've shared something with someone, that also shows the human side of me, that it makes topics much clearer. And people always tell me, like, I like your authenticity. I meet you and I feel like the person I saw on that screen was actually you. And when, you know, right, wrong, or indifferent, I share all my crazy stuff in social media, people know, like, I know what I get. I know what I get from this person. I know who she is, you know, and on screen, off screen, real life, whatever.
Well, thanks everyone for listening, and tune into the next one.
Thanks so much for supporting our show. Please do share this episode with your friends and business associates, and click the link below to subscribe to the podcast. Until next time, take care.